What a beautiful time of worship. First of all, Don and Danny, so powerful what you put together for us this morning. And thank you for sharing your gifts and talents with us. And Rachel and the boy band up there. thank you guys for what you do every week. But just a powerful time of worship this morning. So thank you, thank you, thank you. For all that you put into leading us on Sunday mornings. Many of you, it would have been 2 weeks ago, you celebrated your Thanksgivings and what have you. We held off on ours a little bit until yesterday because my parents were coming down from Ontario, Canada. They came down on Friday. They were here yesterday. It was 2 years since we had seen them last because of the border issues and restrictions and all that kind of stuff. So we were super excited to be able to spend Friday with them. Yesterday we did our Thanksmas dinner, so we got both Thanksgiving and Christmas all worked in there together. But it was kind of interesting because, as it happens with all of you, when you have people coming to your house, there's steps of preparation that you do when you know somebody's arriving, right? So you begin to make that list, and you begin to check things off of that list of the different cleaning that needs to take place and making sure that you have the food that you need for the meals and planning the time and how you're going to use that time with the guests that are coming to your house. And we were in the midst of that this whole last week, kind of just working through our lists and checking off all the things. And as many of you, I'm sure, know, our phones listen to us and spy on us all the time. So we had conversations about needing to get the cleaning done and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, this meme, the next time I'm on Facebook, pops up onto my screen. And I thought, this is so true. And it's just this, me telling guests, ignore the mess after cleaning for 97 hours straight. Isn't that what we do? We clean, we clean, we clean. And then as soon as they walk in, oh, I'm so sorry, it's not quite clean for you. Here's the deal. For the last weeks, we have been anticipating and looking forward to this day and a half with my parents. We've been preparing for this day and a half with my parents. Advent is a time of waiting. It's a time of preparation. That's what we are doing today, not for my parents, all of you, but for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today, I want us to visit this theme of hope that we saw in the clip earlier. Hope is a word that we use often, I think, during the Christmas season. We hope that the tree fits in the house after we, you know, measured it by how tall we are standing next to it. We hope that we get, as a child, we get what we asked for underneath the tree on Christmas morning. We hope that mom or dad or grandma or grandpa don't burn and wreck the turkey or the ham or whatever it is that you have. We hope that it's going to be a white Christmas. Not too white, because that might interfere with our plans, but at least a little bit of white on Christmas Eve. None of these things are necessarily bad things. They're all good things. They're fun things. However, I think we have lost the depth of the theme of hope when our hope are really just wishful thinking of trivial things. So I want us this morning to listen to a passage, or just a single verse in Scripture as we get started, concerning the word hope. In 1 Peter, the author writes, and he uses the word hope kind of over and over and over again. In chapter 1, we're given a little bit of a summary of this word hope that we're talking about today and focusing on today. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." Most of the time, when we talk about hope, it's in terms of the future. But it also has a lot to do with right now in our lives, with the present. Our hope is not just meant to be something that only impacts our future, but it should impact our present days as well. I want us to spend the rest of our minutes together this morning talking about, digging into deeper this promise of hope that we are given at Christmas through the birth of Christ. So the first thing that we're going to look at this morning is hope is a certainty about the future that impacts the present. Hope is a certainty about the future that impacts the present. If you're going to be turning with us in Scripture, I'm going to jump ahead a few minutes here, but you're going to go to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. If you're using church Bibles, it's going to be page 725. So you can kind of get ready for when we get there. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25. Our hope is not set as believers in Jesus Christ on some vague or unclear optimism that we have for no reason. As a believer in Jesus Christ, our hope is set in specific moments in history. For example, the arrival of Jesus Christ, right? What we're celebrating, what we're preparing for in this Advent season. The arrival of Jesus as a baby, and then our hope is in his life, our hope is in his death, our hope is in his resurrection. These are moments in history. Hope is about living right now in the light of a future promise. This hope is about restructuring. So restructuring the way that we look at the world, not as it is now, but as it will be when Christ comes to set all things right. I'm going to guess that there's probably not too many here. Let's do it this way. Is there anybody here that you would love for nothing more than to spend an 8-hour day in your front and backyard raking leaves and taking them to the curb? We don't have any takers on that. So none of us get excited about the idea of raking leaves for 8 hours and taking them out to the curb. Probably none of us get excited about raking leaves for 20 minutes and taking them out to the curb. It's not a fun thing. It's something we have to do, but it's not fun. And it's annoying because as you do it, you're watching more trees fall down from the tree. And it's annoying because the next day when you wake up, there's just as many leaves on the yard again as there were when you started the project. And they've either fallen from the tree or they've blown in from your neighbor's yard who hasn't raked their leaves yet. So you know what would make this task a little bit better for most of us? It's this. If we were to know that in 2 weeks from now, we've hired somebody to come and take care of all of our leaves. Right? That makes that task better. Because we know that there's something, we can anticipate something good that's going to happen in the future. Something that's going to take care of it for us in the future. That future hope impacts me now, in that moment. We would find joy in the beauty of the leaves falling down from the tree. Nice red ones and yellow ones and all that. If we knew we didn't have to touch them. Because we have hope that somebody else is going to come and take care of it for us in a few weeks. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." See, the Old Testament holds a bunch of promises, bunch of prophecies about the coming of Jesus. Each one, I believe, helped sustain the Jewish people, the people of that time, because they believed that rescue was coming, that what they were going through was only going to be for a set period of time. It wasn't going to be forever. They believed that rescue was coming. It helped them to be able to live day to day, despite what they were facing. In a world that was full of dark, deep darkness, there was a light that was coming. There was hope that was coming for them. There's an old man named Simeon within the pages of Scripture. Simeon was a wonderful, really, he's this great Advent character, as he is just this perfect example of somebody that has oriented his entire life around a future promise that was given to him by God. After Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, they took him to the temple to participate in some of the traditional Jewish customs of that day. One of the main reasons to travel to the temple was to dedicate, to consecrate Jesus to the Lord. When they arrived at the temple, and this is where we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 2 now, if you've got your Bibles open. When they arrived at the temple, Simeon was there as well. And our passage says, "Now there is a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him," so it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit, "that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" Some traditions, some commentaries would tell us that Simeon was probably somewhere around 112 years old. According to Luke chapter 2, Simeon was promised that he would not die until he saw the Messiah in the flesh. His life would be spared until he set his eyes on the Anointed One. But the prompting of the Holy Spirit, Simeon had this idea, this thought, this whatever it was that was within him, to go to the temple at the exact time that Jesus and his family were going to arrive. When Simeon sees Jesus, he knows immediately who he is. He's overcome by joy and hope as he realizes that this is the one he's been waiting for. The one the world has been waiting for. Simeon takes the baby into his arms and recites this beautiful prayer that we just read. Can you even imagine what Simeon would have felt in that moment? To know that the thing that he had hoped for so long had finally come to pass. Simeon, in his many years, had seen many painful times in Israel's history. He saw the Romans conquer and occupy his people and his land. He saw a bloody civil war. He saw multiple revolutions by the Israelite people be crushed. Yet in the midst of these and other difficult moments in history, Simeon held on to hope. He still believed, no matter what he was facing or what he was going through, he still believed that God was not done and had not quit on him. He believed the Messiah, the deliverer, was still on his way, that he would still see him in the flesh. And in Luke 2, Simeon stands at the temple holding the promised Messiah, the one through whom the world would be rescued. See, hope is a certainty about the future that impacts our present. Hope is also, it is birthed out of deep longings and desperate need. Hope is birthed out of deep longings and desperate need is the second point this morning. Simeon shows us that hope is just this. Luke tells us that Simeon was waiting at the temple for something very specific to happen. He was waiting for the Christ child to come. He is waiting for consolation of Israel. The word consolation in our passage means encouragement or comfort. And it didn't mean he was waiting for God's pat on the back or for a few nice words. This phrase was in reference to some chapters in the book of Isaiah. You see, for hundreds of years, Israel had been defeated and destroyed by so many different nations. The Syrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and then currently the Romans. And these chapters throughout Isaiah were written right in the middle of those difficult times that they were going through, that they were facing. When these chapters in Isaiah were written, they were pointed to a coming comfort through the Messiah that God would send. Many would look around and be discouraged because that was not the situation of that moment, that time. But these were promises that one day things would change. One day things would change. They could have hope and comfort and encouragement that God would deliver his promise of a Messiah, of a Savior. The word that Luke uses for waiting in this passage in the Greek literally means to give access to oneself. To give access to oneself. It's the kind of waiting that you do from the deepest parts of you. It's a waiting that involves a sort of pain almost. An awareness of your depth of need for something. It's a sort of waiting that hurts to some degree. Simeon's hope, his anticipation, it came out of his awareness of his deep need for God's comfort and for God's healing in his life. During these weeks leading up to Christmas, we're only a couple weeks out now, I would encourage you to allow yourself to feel the deep need that you have for God. I think too often, for many of us, when we get a sense of need in our lives, what do? We try to fill our lives with something to distract us. Right? We fill it with shopping, or we fill it with great accomplishments, or we fill it with parties, or denial, or substance abuse. Instead of leaning into our deepest need for God's comfort and healing in our lives, we simply try to distract ourselves. And then in the end, we miss the hope that's offered to us through Jesus Christ. When we do this, we are living, but we are not really alive. As we approach Christmas this year, I encourage you just to look around you. Engage with the Advent season. Allow yourself to hope that your current circumstance, that might even be bringing you pain right now, that it can be changed and restored by the arrival or the coming of Christ into our lives. Hope is found in our deepest longings. But our hope also comes from a single person. And that's our third point this morning. Our hope is found in Christ. In 1 Peter, we're told that our hope is not set in some kind of empty, wishful thinking. This is amazing news, really, because if it was, then our hope ends in despair or disappointment. Our hope is set in Jesus Christ. Nobody can take that hope away from us. Our hope is not set in some 401k program or a relationship or a job or some president of the United States or some political party or medical report or some big bank account or our education. At least our hope better not be in those things. Because if we've seen anything in the last 2 years, we've seen that tomorrow can look very different than today. Our hope is in Jesus Christ as believers and his promised arrival in the future to restore all that is broken. As you read through the New Testament, page after page, many people who come in contact with Jesus miss the significance of who he really was. Even though the writing in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus, it pointed to him. They still missed it. But not Simeon. Simeon knew he was Jesus, even at the first month of this child's life. That he was the anointed one. That he was the promised one. That he was the one that was going to come to bring us hope and peace and joy and love. So why did Simeon get it right and so many other people get it wrong? I think in short, it's because people were looking for something Jesus wasn't. Jesus wasn't what most people were looking for in a Messiah. We've all heard it said that the people of Jesus' time, so many of them, they were looking for a political warrior or king who would overthrow the oppressors of the Jews and put them back on top of things. They didn't expect this Messiah to be this tiny baby who would come and instead of flexing his muscle or exerting his power, would give himself up on a cross. It's not what they were expecting. The people who missed Jesus, for them, it was, I believe, because their hope was in their specific expectations of what was going to happen and who it would be. Their expectations were all about what they wanted God to do, right? To put them back on top of things. How they wanted him to look like a king, a great warrior. And for things to change in their favor. When Jesus failed to meet these expectations, I think they missed them altogether. See, Simeon had a different hope. When our hope is placed in anything other than the promises of God and the fulfillment of these promises in Jesus, we tend to settle for hope in lesser things. These things always fail and always lead us into different frustrations. This morning, in the midst of whatever you might be going through, where do you find your hope? How you answer that question makes all the difference in the world. Where do you find your hope? Is your hope based on something you want God to do? Or is it based in God himself? There's a difference in being hopeful for something and being hopeful in something. My prayer would be that you choose this year to face your deep longing and that you come to believe that there is one specific source from whom you can have hope. That's Jesus Christ. We've all known somebody that has gone through pregnancy in their life. Pregnancy is a long time, and I'm the guy in this relationship. It's even a longer time for the ladies. It's 9 months of waiting, right? It's 9 months of anticipating. And all you can do is just wait. You can't hurry the process along. All you can do is wait, but you can do a little bit more than that, right? We can make preparations. We can paint the room. We can buy clothes. We can buy diapers. We can buy all the things that we're going to need when this child comes home. We can baby-proof the house. Because a child's going to grow up to be a monster someday and go crazy. When we have hope that Jesus is going to show up in our life, we find we have plenty to do in joining him in his work. When we have hope that a baby is going to be coming home to us, we have plenty to do in preparation for that child to come home. We're in Advent, a time of anticipating, a time of waiting and preparing. But let me say this, in that time of waiting and preparing and anticipating, we need to be active. We wait, absolutely. But we wait actively doing his work and sharing the hope that we are celebrating. So, question I want to leave you with this morning is, what are you doing in these days that is active waiting as we wait for our hope to be born on Christ on Christmas Day? What are you doing that is active waiting, that is bringing hope to others in these days? Because yes, by all means, we should be waiting and anticipating, but we need to be doing it actively. We need to be preparing. I think part of that preparation is us actively sharing the hope that we know, that we've received of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, come to you this morning, I thank you. You are, as we talked last week, you're a God of love. You're a God of hope. Heavenly Father, my prayer would simply be this for each one of us during this upcoming week and the days ahead prior to Christmas, is that we put our hope in you. We don't put our hope in external things. We don't put our hope in us being able to fix our own problems. That when we know that something is challenging, something is hard, something is difficult, and we instantly turn to the hope that you've given to us in Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. Help us not to ignore that, but help us to reach out and to receive the hope that we get through Jesus Christ. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.